this message, this topic, is probably one of the most controversial topics within the church. I'm not talking about outside the church, because it's controversial there as well. But people do not understand when you say speaking in tongues exactly what the word says and means. Before we get started, has everybody got a pen for their note-taking? Okay, everybody's got a pen. Awesome. We're going to start with the same scriptures we've used in the other nights of the series, because we haven't gotten past this. It seems like Sunday school when we're still in Ephesians 1, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and verse 10. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you open our ears to hear. You say if any man has an ear to hear, that means to listen, to understand, to take it in. Lord, I pray for listening, hearing ears tonight. And I pray we take this word, that it not be stolen before it even gets into us. But we take it diligently, and we put it inside, and we mix it with faith. What your word says is true. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth in Jesus' name. Well, obviously, we need a definition about the gift of different kinds of tongues. And out of Larry Ollison's book, it says, different kinds of tongues is the supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in languages never learned by the speaker or understood by the mind of the speaker, and not necessarily understood by the hearer. Okay? Different kinds of tongues is the supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. It may use your voice box, your lips, your breath, but it's by the Holy Spirit using your faculties. In languages never learned or understood, not necessarily understood by the hearer. So all in all, this is not something of your own vain imagination. Now, this is talking about the gift of different kinds of tongues. We're going to talk about a few other areas, because there's actually three different places or types of areas where you understand the scripture is talking about tongues. There's the initial evidence when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. There's your prayer language, speaking in tongues. You praying to God and edifying God, and it's just you speaking to God, and that's in here. And then there's the gift of different kinds of tongues, which is a supernatural. Holy Spirit chose you for a specific purpose, just like for healing, just like for miracles, just like for any of the other gifts. So there are three different instances, and people get them all mixed up. And in getting them all mixed up, they don't take the time to define which one is being talked about. We're going to try to see if we can clear away some of the muddy water and make some of it clear tonight. Now, like I said, there's a lot of scripture. I better put my phone out here with my clock on it. Okay. All right, and that won't work because I can't see the clock now. That will. There we go. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit, one and the same Spirit works all these things. Now, it's been talking about all the different gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts. And then it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. It's not different spirits. It's not a different gift and a spirit with each one. You'll read it different places where it talks about the seven spirits of God. This is the Holy Spirit, part of Elohim, which is the Godhead. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. distributing to each one individually as he wills. So not only are all of the gifts different and distributed by one Spirit, this gift is called of different kinds of tongues. And it's how the Holy Spirit decides. The Holy Spirit wants to do it. It's his choice, not yours. 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he who speaks in the tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, we're talking about the gift of different kinds of tongues at this point. You're in a service and someone gives a message in tongues. And you can tell. You've been around enough, you can just tell when that's right on. Number one, it's not interfering. It's not showy. It's not taking over. The preacher's not preaching and someone stands up and blurts out in tongues. It's decently and in order, number one. Number two, it doesn't quench the spirit of what is moving. And the second part, we'll get to it later, is after that person finishes, either that person or another person interprets it. And we'll explain why. But when that person speaks, they're speaking mysteries. There are going to be things that that person or the interpreter says that nobody else knew or understand. It's a revelation of the word. It might be towards a person. It might be towards a group. It might be towards the whole group. It may even be prophecy in tongues and interpretation. But the gift of tongues is one gift. And next week we'll try to talk about interpretation of tongues to give the second half. But I've got to kind of point to it from here. Otherwise, it's like, okay, so tongues, what does it do for us? Because some of the other scriptures will not make sense if I don't. So when we speak, you speak in tongues by the gift, you don't know what it is you speak. And when you do speak, you're speaking mysteries to God. Okay, what about your prayer language? Do you necessarily know what it is you're saying? See, that's where there's a parallel. In that even though one is a gift that the Holy Spirit is doing something, the other is you speaking in your prayer language, which you can turn on and turn off, you still don't know what's being said. When you first got filled with the Holy Spirit and you start speaking in other tongues, did you know what you were saying? You didn't know, but your spirit knew. It was plugging in and getting a download. A little IT humor there, but that's what's happening is your spirit is talking to God. All right? So you don't necessarily know, but your spirit knows. Like I said a while ago, there's much confusion about tongues. First of all, there's the initial evidence of the baptism, the prayer language, as we call it. Then there's a gift of different kinds of tongues. The gift of different kinds of tongues is a ministry gift, and it's different than your prayer language. It may sound the same. It may be similar. It may be totally different because it's the Holy Spirit working in you. The gift of tongues is like the other gifts of the Spirit. Remember, those were for a specific time, specific purpose, person, or event. But it was to edify all. It never is to point the spotlight. See, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He doesn't point fingers at himself. He points everyone to Christ. And so will the people ministering in these gifts point people to Jesus. If someone's working in the gift of healing, and they're over here going, oh, isn't this great? God healed this person through me, and God healed this person, and God's going to heal these people through me. You're hearing me, me, me. That's not the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The same with the ministry in tongues. If the person all of a sudden has spotlights come on around them and they're glowing and they're shouting and they're dancing about getting everybody's attention and they got their attention and they take off with it, you're like, okay, we got a showboat. Because everything's got to be decently in order. And you can't be out of order with God's word and be ministering for God because God doesn't do that. There's no shadow of turning in him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now you'll notice tonight, I go back many times to the same scriptures. You've got them in order in the papers I gave you. So you'll see when I go back to one here or back to one there, you still have a new spot to write in. So I didn't make you go back, and I want to stay in flow. But 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, "Now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked him." Any questions about that? When you're praying, you're to pray in the will of God, right? And you know that when you're praying the will of God, he's going to answer it because that's what his word says. How do you know how to pray the will of God? How do you know when this is the will or that's the will? We don't. Because some things, somebody's holding up a Bible back there saying it's in the word. There are things in this life, you get to a place where your GPS usually would say calculating, and you're saying there's a cliff there. Do I go backwards? Do I go sideways? It's recalculating. It doesn't know where to go. The word of God may not tell you here, but it tells you over there. How do I get? I know I'm supposed to get over there. How do I get to that? This is where I'm at, but that's the answer. And by praying in the Spirit, you can find the will of God. Mm-hmm. And then you know that God says, go over this way. And you do, and you get to where you're supposed to go. Because the word tells us here and there. Remember, the disciples were looking around every corner and up in every cloud, constantly looking at the sky after Jesus rose or ascended, expecting him to come back in their lifetime. How much more is he coming back now? The word says he's coming back, and be watchful. If he just said, you got time. You got a couple thousand years before I come back, but there'll be plenty of people putting out the dates then, so you just don't worry about it now. I mean, just live however. Would the church have survived? We saw what happened when the church tried to go through 88 reasons and recently the 23rd of September in 2017 and other dates in 1984, I think was another one. All these different dates because people were looking at, you know, Y2K, different, the world's going to end. Well, that's not what the book says. But people would get so into one area or another, they weren't getting the will of God. They didn't have the mind of God. So I'm surprised if any of their prayers were answered. So we need to know how to know the will of God. Mm-hmm. Well, if your spirit's talking to God in tongues, guess what? Your spirit knows how to pray, even when you don't. When we pray in the Spirit, we're speaking straight to God. Yeah. Remember, we're speaking mysteries. Not that we know or understand, but the Spirit does, because the Spirit's speaking to God. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. Some people see somebody in the Spirit speaking in tongues, and they go, oh, God's moving. Oh, isn't that gracious? I'm waiting to hear what he has to say. Is there an interpreter? Oh, Sister so-and-so over there, she usually interprets. I hope she's got the interpretation. I'm waiting to hear what that's going to be for us. And others are going, that person sounds drunk. What happened in Acts 2? The disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit. They came out and they started speaking things. They were speaking in tongues. People from all over the world heard them speak in their own language, knowing these Galileans did not know their language. They weren't far world travelers. Here they were talking about things that those people understood in their language. More than likely it was about Christ, because later they all got saved, or 3,000 of them did. But some of them said, they're drunk. Listen to them babble. They're just drunk. And Peter put them in their place. No, these men are not drunk as you supposed. So some will mock and some will understand. Acts 2:13, others mocking said they are full of new wine. Well, brother and sister, if that's new wine, I want a bottle of that. I want that wine. I want to be filled with that wine. That's the Holy Spirit. So it's not really a wine that we take in. Acts 8:26 and 27 says, Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. This is what I was speaking about a while ago. For we do not know what we should pray, for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. What did I say, Hebrews?
You said Acts.
Acts. Okay, I was saying Acts from Acts 2:13 a while ago, but now it's Romans 8:26, 27. Sorry about that. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying in your prayer language, this is what's going on. The Spirit is making intercession for you. The Spirit knows God's heart and is talking straight to him about what your situation is. You're not aware what it is. Sometimes you pray in the Spirit and you pray in the understanding. Maybe you get a little bit of an inkling of it, or the situation all of a sudden takes care of itself. But this is what you're doing when you're praying in the Spirit. You say, I don't know how to pray. Okay, pray in the Spirit. But is that scriptural? Romans 8. Pray in the Spirit. The Spirit helps our weakness. We haven't seen God face to face. Guess what? The Spirit's part of God. He not only knows God, he's the third person of the Trinity. So the Spirit, the Word, and the Father are one. He can't pray anything that is against the Father. You want your prayers answered? Pray in the Spirit. You want to see things happen? You don't know how to go, what to do, where to go? Pray in the Spirit. This is a power that God said he was sending. When Jesus said he went, he would send the Comfort that would regenerate, rejuvenate each one of us to the point that the world would be turned upside down. The church has gone to sleep and says, we've got this loaded weapon and we're not going to use it. The devil does not want you to use it. He causes confusion. God's not the author of confusion. The Father is the Father of lights. That's illumination. But he gives you the Spirit to pray for and with you so that you can make sure you're praying the will of God. You want to make sure that you're praying the will of God? Pray in the Spirit. Simple as that. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 and 7 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Spirit, the Father, and the Son may work differently, but they all work for the same reason and the same purpose. Amen. For the will of God. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, 13 says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Why would God ask you to pray for an interpretation if that's a gift we haven't talked about yet, but he's asking you to pray for an interpretation when all the other gifts were individually given? Well, we'll get into that. Basically, if you operate in the gifts of different kinds of tongues, you are to pray for the ability to interpret, or pray that there's an interpreter there. There are scriptures that say that if there is no interpreter, you're supposed to stay silent. Otherwise, you just cause confusion. Let's go back to Romans 8, 26 and 27 again. Remember it said, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. We see in part, we know in part, but one of these days we will know even as we are known. As you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are known inside and out. God knows you. You don't know the will of God. You don't know how to pray sometimes, but the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit isn't necessarily interceding for the next person that you're having me praying for. The Holy Spirit's interceding for you. That's what it says right there. The Spirit makes intercession for us. Okay? You need to spend time in prayer. When you're alone in your prayer closet, spend time praying in the understanding. What you're praying for, what you know what it is, English, or whatever your language is. But then spend time praying in the Spirit. Read the Word. Pray both ways. And you will build up that inner man. Build up that inner person, the Spirit within you, stronger and stronger. Because you're praying the will of God. And you can be confident of that. When we're able to interpret, this goes back to pray to interpret. When we're able to interpret what was said in tongues, if it's the gift of tongues, and you pray to interpret, you then strengthen yourself more because you're able to understand what the will of God was. Where before you're just praying and you know it's being built up, but you don't know what it is. By praying to interpret, now you can understand what the will of God is. And we know we have our prayers answered when we pray according to His will. So that increases your knowledge and maybe it increases your way to pray in the understanding because now you know what the Spirit was praying for. So pray in the Spirit. Ask God for the interpretation. If He gives it to you, now you can pray in the understanding knowing full well, hey, there's a scripture on that. This is what God said. This is what God's answer is for that situation. And then your faith grows. So does your soul. So does your walk. Okay? John, 1 John 5:14 and 15. We've already used this verse once. We're going to come back to it here. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, you find His will in the Word. You find His will by praying in the Spirit and getting the interpretation. See what I'm saying? According to His will, He hears us. So if you're praying in the Spirit and you then get an interpretation and you go, oh, now I know how to pray. And you start praying in the understanding. You pray some more in the Spirit. Guess what? Your Spirit's praying about it. You're praying about it. You're quoting Scripture. You've got it. The Word says where two or more agree. How many are in that situation? You, the Spirit, and Father God, because He and His Word agree, and you're speaking the Word back to Him. Do you think you're going to have your answers? Huh? Say, no, you're not. Everybody's silent. Do you think you'll have an answer if you're praying according to His will? Well, if you're praying and the Spirit's praying and you're getting interpretation, it increases how you're going to pray. And then you find Scripture on that same thing and you start quoting that back to God. What happens? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You understand how to pray. You've got wisdom. James 1, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. He'll give to all men liberally, not upbraiding. He will tell you what He's trying to say. Guess what? You come bouncing in here, God did it. I prayed, and this is what I heard, and this is what I stood on, and this is the Scripture, and guess what happened? And we could all say, God answered. Right? Because that's what the Word says. That's what we've just been going back and forth in these same Scriptures over and over. It's for praying the will of God. Okay? James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God gives good gifts to His children. Amen? We know it's not God's will for us to be under the curse. Everybody know that? The Word says that, right? Any of it. When you know the will of God, it makes it easier to know how to pray for a situation. For instance, the Word tells us that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. It's talking about this tree, the cross, that Christ hung on. He became a curse. He wasn't just crowned with the thorns, which are the symbol of the curse. He became the curse. Why were you destined for a devil's hell? Because you were under the curse. He took it for you. All of it. How about Romans 8:2? Amen? Everybody know what that one says? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's the curse. Some of the curse has to do with disease. Psalm 103:3 says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. What about prosperity? Is prosperity a release from the curse? Poverty is in the curse. Psalms 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. If you people tell you God's not interested in your prosperity, then you have to go cut the verse out of your Bible. Because God delights and has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. When you get prospered, something happens, you get a little more than you had before. Guess what? God sits back and smiles. How many of you, when you saw your kids have their first job and they came in with that $110 paycheck and they said, this is so big. Oh my gosh, I've got money. And you sit back and smile and you know, in the back of your mind, you say, okay, light bill, water bill, gasoline, insurance, groceries if you want to eat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as soon as they start going through the budget, when they've got their new apartment and they're paying for it and they're making this money and they go, something's wrong. I'm working every day hard and I don't have any money. And you go, yeah, but you've got a roof over your head. You've got utilities, you've got transportation, you've got food in your refrigerator. Yeah, but I've got maybe $2 left, but you've got food in your refrigerator, you've got this. And then when they finally get it, they go, oh, okay. And then you can smile and you can look on them and say, they're growing up. Well, God looks at us and says, guess what? My people finally get it. I want to see them do well. I want to see them not need me to protect every time they breathe. I want to see them prosper. We're told that he wants us to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. Well, if your soul's not prospering and you're not prospering and you're not in health, maybe you need to go back to work on the soul of you. So the symptom side of it, the other part of it, will start getting taken care of. God is pleasured or pleased as we prosper. People say, prosperity gospel, this and that. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel as much as I'm talking about God loves to prosper his people.
Amen.
You give, you can't outgive him.
That's right.
And because you ask, he said you'll have. If you ask according to his will, if you're asking for a Maybach or a Mercedes or some kind of a huge car that you could never afford the insurance on, let alone to replace the key if you lost it, but God says, I'll give you a Chevy. You can put all the air in those tires you want for free and not have to worry about all that maintenance you had on the others, not have that high insurance and those payments, because I know what you make. But that Chevy's going to get you every place that other one got you to, and it still gets K-Love radio, so you can listen to it, and you can put your CDs in and listen to your preaching as you're going down the road. God says, I'll give you everything you need. Maybe next time it's not a Chevy. Maybe next time it's a step up, and it's a Buick, or then you move on up to a Cadillac. Then you move on up. God wants to prosper you. Start somewhere so God can move up. Mm-hmm. Amen. How about the next, the broken heart? Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We're back to prosperity and poor, right? How many poor people? What would be the gospel to the poor? You don't have to be poor anymore. Exactly. You've heard this before. You don't have to be poor anymore. Anything other than that to a poor person is like, okay, give me a sandwich. Move on your way. You're taking up my sunlight. So preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So right here, the healing, prosperity, broken heart, they're all those things are setting free parts of the curse. So we know out of God's word that these are the will of God, that people be set free, people be healed, people be saved, people have their hearts mended, be whole, be total shalom, total unbrokenness, nothing missing, nothing lacking. Right? We know those are the will of God because we can read it in the word. What about those things you can't necessarily find line for line in the word? Pray in the Spirit. Because the Spirit knows the will of God, the heart of God, and then pray for interpretation. It increases that and might even say, hey, here's a verse back here. Go look at that one. And you open it and there it is. Kathy was talking to me about the other night. She was talking about something. She's praying to God and God says, this verse. And she went and looked at it. She goes, oh my goodness. She was having a conversation because she was praying and all of a sudden a verse popped in her mind. She went and looked it up. She goes, okay. Thank you, Lord. God said Jesus said he would not leave us or forsake us. Amen. When we know, or we know that when we pray in God's will, he hears our answers. And we know in Scripture we can find his will many times. And in John, 1 John 5:14 and 15, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked when he's heard us because we're praying in his will. Now, I kind of went backwards in this verse because the very bottom part is we know we have the petitions we asked him. And then here in the middle, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that he'll provide those. If we ask according to his will. So knowing the word of God, knowing the will of God, is easy when you can find it in here and you can pray about it. But when you can't find it in here, your prayer language is why God gave it to you. It's because you pray the will of God when you pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We are told in Ephesians to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is not just an Acts 2:4, Acts 4, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14 verse. It stays in those chapters and died out. We are continually told that we should be praying in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. If you're not praying in the Spirit enough now, begin, and you'll start seeing some changes happen. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. The purpose of the prayer language is to build up your holy faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're praying in the Spirit and you're never getting the interpretation, guess what? Your spirit's built up, but your faith isn't. But when you're praying in the Spirit and you get the interpretation, you understand what your spirit's praying. And then you find the word and you go, oh my, that, and then this. Okay, and now you've built up your faith. See, God doesn't want us to be lopsided. He wants us to be whole. Rooted and grounded in love, remember? 1 Corinthians 14:14 and 15 says, For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful.